Thank you very much. I'm Vernon Joynes, and for the next few moments, we're going to be discussing the thought of what might have been. From time to time through the years, I've observed men and women come suddenly to the end of the way in a condition of life in which they were far from ready to meet their master in judgment. This has been deeply disturbing to me, and though when life is over, there's nothing that I or anyone else can do. As the Hebrew writer said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this cometh judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. In a situation such as this one, is left with a rather disturbing thought of what might have been. I believe it would be very good for each of us to ponder occasionally the possibility that his life might suddenly be cut short. If this were the last day that you would ever live on earth, what changes would you want to make in your life? Or to put it another way, if you had known 6 months ago that you had only half a year to live, what changes would you have made? Would you have attended church more or less often? Would you have been given more or less to the Lord? Would you have spent more or less time in prayer? Would you have been more concerned or less concerned about others? Most of us, when we look back over our lives and consider them seriously and realistically, have some regrets. There are things which we wish we could change. There are things that we would have left unsaid, or things that we would have left undone, and things that we would do differently. If we could live life over again, with all of us, there are some regrets, and with some, these are very deep regrets. There comes to mind the lines of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest of these, it might have been. For a few moments, I would like for us to go back to the Bible and to some of the lives that are pictured on its pages. These are people who have deep regrets as from the other world, that they look back to the lives that they lived while here on earth. How differently they would live if in some miraculous way they would be given the opportunity to live life over again. Their mistakes serve as a warning for us, and that's the reason why some of them are recorded in the Bible, to remind us that we can look back, and what do we see when we look back? I begin with the final book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, with the brief but tragic story of the church of our Lord at Laodicea. These people who had become Christians in the prescribed New Testament way, they had believed in the same Christ in which you believe and I believe. They had turned away from their sins and repentance. They had made known their faith in Christ as the Son of God and had been buried with their Lord in baptism, in the ancient New Testament manner. And yet, as the years went by, they had left their first love. So cold had they become to spiritual matters and so careless about the things of the Lord that Jesus said unto them, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3, 15 and 16. When this letter was read to the congregation, what must have been the feelings of the elders of the church who had allowed the congregation to grow into such coldness? What must have been the feeling of those who had taught the Bible classes? What must have been the feeling of the parents whose children had grown up to be unconcerned with the Lord and His church? And what must have been the feelings of those who had served as the preachers of the gospel in that place? It is a double tragedy to know Christ and then let Him slip away. Let us hope that the congregations of people that are listening to this broadcast are not like the one in long ago and let these things slip, but that they would come to repentance and renew its dedication to Christ before it's too late. Turning a few pages, I come to the disappointing story of Demas, one of the traveling companions of the Apostle Paul. Like Timothy and others, Demas was a young preacher and a kind of an apprentice studying under the great apostle to the Gentiles. It is in 2 Timothy 4 in verse 10 that we read, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica. This is a tragedy of the highest order. When you think of what might have been, salvation imparted to others and salvation retained for himself, the name of Demas is one of the saddest words in our language. Here's a man who had the greatest opportunity in the world to go with Paul, and yet he gave up and went home. Next, I turn to the story of Felix, who served for a few years as a Roman governor of Palestine in the days of the apostles. On one occasion, the Apostle Paul stood before him as a prisoner and preached unto him the way of the Lord, that is, the way of eternal life. Here is the story in the words of the Scriptures. After certain days, Felix came with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me. And Acts 24, 24 and 25. This was the closest he ever came to the forgiveness of his sins in Christ as far as the Scriptures concerned. He was touched by the preaching of this apostle, for the Scripture says that he trembled. He was terrified. But then he made the most tragic mistake of his life. He put off his decision until a latter time. Never again did he come so close to the kingdom of God. And I would like to add, Felix has been dead for some 2,000 years. Now 2,000 years of regret that he did not make his decision another way. But this is only the beginning of his regret, for it will extend on and on throughout all of eternity yet to come. How differently he would respond if, in some way, he could again have the opportunity to hear Paul preach. In the 5th chapter of Acts, we find the story of Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. This couple were Christians in the church at Jerusalem. Then, desiring the praise of men, when they had seen people sell their property and bring the proceeds, they lied to the Holy Spirit about their gift to the Lord. Their deception, fostered by their pride, cost them their lives and their eternal salvation. The Apostle Peter is another in our list of those who had deep regrets as they look back over their lives. The 22nd chapter of Luke tells the story of Peter's denial of his Lord. Verses 31 through 34 tell of Peter's almost indignant declaration. Lord, with thee I am ready to go both to prison and to death. Then Matthew quotes Peter as saying, Even if I must die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Matthew 26 and verse 35. Yet we know that he did deny his Lord, not once but three times. Later that same night, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how that he had said unto him, Before the cock crow this day, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Luke 22:61 and 62. Let it be said to the credit of Peter that he spent the rest of his life sacrificially serving the Lord, trying to erase the memory, both in his own mind and the minds of others, of his tragic denial of Jesus. As disappointing as was his failure, his penitence and the life that he lived thereafter are an encouragement to those of us who need to repent and turn. May we be as successful as was Peter. Perhaps the deepest regrets of all those that we speak of would be that of Judas. The Scripture teaches that the last scene in his life as follows. Then Judas, who betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself or regretted, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned, in that I have betrayed innocent blood. But they said, what's that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed. He went away and hanged himself. Matthew 27:3-4. Judas, like many others, has already spent hundreds and hundreds of years in regret. But the tragedy of his action has only begun. The endless eternity, which all of us face, will find him regretting through all the ceaseless ages to come that he ever lived. And we turn on back to the Old Testament, and we are told that whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience of the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:4. So we don't hesitate to go back and take a look at these examples of regret. David, who was Israel's greatest king, stumbled into gross sin. On the pages of Scripture, he had a magnificent record, but it is marred by adultery, lying, and murder. What a shame it is that the man who had the spiritual sensitivity to write the Psalms, a man after God's own heart, should have such a blot upon his record. The Israelites, who were the recipients of God's great love and care as a nation, must look back with deep regret as they study the record of their failure to be loyal to Jehovah. It is a tragic story when you go all the way back. From their enslavement in Egypt on down through the centuries, the failure of this people, especially loved by God, to respond to his love in a tragedy of the deepest kind. What regrets there must be for those who lived in Noah's time. Their wickedness cost them their lives and changed the whole direction of the world. What deep regrets there must be as Adam and Eve look back at those days, at the dawn of history, when they failed to heed the directions and the warnings of God. How different our world would be if they had only been different. It was they who opened the floodgates of sin and let all the suffering, the heartaches, the tragedies, the death that has cursed the world through all the centuries since that time spill in. We're almost overwhelmed when we think about what might have been. In our day, too, there are many regrets. I know a man who said that he arrived at a railroad crossing a few years ago just after a car had been crushed by an oncoming train, and three elderly ladies had been happily on their way to town just a few months before, and he said when he arrived, one lay dead, one badly injured, and one wringing her hands in shock. He said that he could not help but think what might have been if they had only started a few minutes earlier or a few minutes later, or if the driver had been more careful. You can also think of many other examples. One would be of a conscientious teacher in a large public high school, and she said that one day her regrets in regard to a boy who had been in her class but had suddenly dropped out of school. She did not know until after he was gone how discouraged and how despondent he had become, realizing how he had built a ceiling over his later advancements by dropping out of school. She felt regret that she had not done more as a good teacher would. There have been young people who have come to people to talk about their situation in life with regret. There was a young couple who had been too intimate in their behavior with each other. Indiscretion eventually led into impurity and immorality. Then came the deep regrets. These were basically fine young people who had slipped into sin. Yes, it was possible for them to repent and be forgiven by God, but their lives would always bear the marks of their mistakes. Through the years, I have known many others whose lives were filled with regrets. You can think of various people. There was a man who stole from his employer only to find out and disgraced himself. He lost his job, his retirement benefits, but his greatest loss was his name and reputation. even the members of his own family could never quite feel the same toward him. So deep were his regrets that after a while, he moved to another section of the country, hoping to begin life over again. There have been many others, but I need not try to recount them all. You, too, have known many who would give anything that have to ever hope to have to live certain periods of their lives over again. At this point, it's good for all of us to remember that all of us are sinners. Romans 3:10 and verse 23, when he says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Then let us remember John 3:16, sometimes called the golden text of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is what Christianity is all about. All of us are sinners. All of us are lost until we come to Christ. Only when we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ are we free from sin and regret. If you have never confessed the name of Jesus before men, let me plead with you to do so immediately. If you have never seriously turned away from sin in repentance, let me urge you to do it now while you have life and opportunity. If you have never been buried with the Lord in baptism for the forgiveness of sins, may I implore you to do this as soon as possible. Then you will be free from sin, and God will have added you to his church. These lines have special meaning. Just one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then the lines that we mentioned earlier. Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these: "It might have been." Let us so live by the grace of God that we will have no eternal regrets. Thank you for listening to the broadcast.